Okay, so this started off as a singles project, morphed into something completely different. Did you ever see this project turning into what it eventually did?
No, honestly. I don't think any of us ever really thought that this thing would turn into what it turned into. I certainly didn't from solo inception, but it's just kind of, we're at the mercy of this thing. I mean, I have no idea what we're doing or how we're doing it, but it's almost grabbing us by the neck, dragging us along, and that's all right. I guess if I had to be dragged along by something, I wouldn't mind being dragged along by this.
Okay, listening to you guys, you definitely hear like the 12 Stone influence, and I mean that goes without saying with Justin being the producer, but I mean also some Stained, you know, Breaking Benjamin, things like that. What are some bands that you guys listen to that no one would expect?
The obvious are Stained, Breaking Benjamin. Those are some of my favorite bands. But some of the bands that I listen to that nobody would really expect, Marianas Trench. I listen to a lot of David Cook. I listen to a lot of country. I'm a big country fan.
Okay.
I don't know. I listen to everything. Probably my biggest guilty pleasure is Britney Spears. I'm sorry, did I say that?
I think you did. When people listen to albums now, it's not the way that it used to be. You know, before, back in the day, you'd listen to an entire album from front to back. It was an experience. Now, you know, people go on iTunes, they kind of cherry pick a song here or there. If you had to have one song on this album that you felt was indicative of what this band does on stage and in the studio, what song do you think it would be and why?
Forgot About Us covers the spectrum of everything. I mean, you get the screams, you get the singing, you got the hook, you got the gang vocals, you know, the aggressive riffs. We got it all in that song, man. It's just, that's pretty much a powerhouse for us. That's everything that we have.
Speaking of Forgot About Us, can you just take us through the creative process of that song? How was it written? I mean, a lot of the songs on the album have to do with moments in your life. I mean, where were you when you wrote that song?
I was sitting at Adam's house, and we were looking for another song for the set. We had a couple ideas, and I really don't know what happened with what, other than I've been hurt pretty bad, and I didn't want to be hurt anymore, so I told the story of me being hurt, and from an outsider standpoint, you know, a third point of view, kind of an out-of-body experience, but that's what it was about. I was tired of being crapped on, so to speak.
Okay, the video for War on the Inside, I mean, it's not like every other music video you've seen on MTV and VH1 and stuff like that. What was the creative process going through the video, and did you guys have like a direct, you know, impact on what was put in the video?
Nick Barton from Post Fugitive Films actually directed that video. He had done a couple of videos, and we were really interested in working with him for some other bands. And I pretty much gave him, I won't say creative control on what to do, but I did. I asked him, you know, I'm looking for your ideas. We've talked to a couple of different other people, director-wise, about what they would do, and everybody kind of seemed to pitch the same generic idea of a totally different story. And then when Nick came to me with the drug rehabilitation idea, I said, man, that's a great idea. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that have gone through that personally, and, you know, or had a family member or close friend go through that. And plus, we wanted to kind of give... The song is really, it's about hope for me. I was in a really dark place, and I didn't know which way to go. And it wasn't necessarily drug reflecting upon, but I figured that was the biggest, broadest way to kind of get people to pay attention to what was being said in the song. And, you know, obviously it directly correlates with that.
Okay, as far as the video, man, you are rocking out in this video, man. You're waving your hands around, you know, shaking your head up and down. Is that what you're like on stage, too? You're like this big ball of energy.
I hate that video so much. Yeah, we were with Nick a couple, about 2 weeks ago, we actually stayed at his house while we were in Wichita. We were talking about the video. I was like, man, every time I watch that thing, I was like, look at this idiot. What am I doing right here? that video is actually not even a tenth of the energy that I released up out on stage. You cannot stop me. It's wide open up there. But yeah, the multiple of that time is about 100. That's what you're getting.
Okay. Do you remember the moment that you said to yourself, like, I think I could do this music thing? Was there, like, a specific moment or a time you heard a song or a time you saw a person recording that you were just like, yeah, this is for me. This is where I'm going.
This is going to be no shock to anybody who pays attention to the album, but when I was 15 years old, I went and saw Creed on the My Own Prison Tour. There was Big Rick and somebody else. I can't really remember, but the way that Scott Stapp, like, conveyed everything to me. And keep in mind, I get compared to Scott Stapp a lot, and that is totally unintentional.
Mm-hmm.
I've never wanted to sound like Scott Stapp. I never wanted to be, I think the dude's a great guy, he's a great musician. You know, they've got amazing songs, but I never wanted to set out to be like somebody. It's just what came out was what came out. And I think that was the moment where I was like, you know what, I this is what I want to do. You know, went to college, did the Army thing and all that crap. So I decided, after I did all that, I wanted to legitimately try and give music a shot, and this is where I'm at right now.
Do you feel you catch people off guard the first time they hear you sing? I mean, from the video, I don't get that you're that tall of a guy. Like, you're not that, you know. But your voice, man, your voice is huge, you know? Like, the first time that people see you sing, do they kind of, like, open their eyes a little bit?
I get people coming to me like, I did not expect that voice to come out of me.
Yeah.
I'm 5'8", 5'8" and a half on a good day, but Adam's shaking his head no. Adam's shorter than me, so don't even care. But no, I get that a lot, man. People come to me all the time, like, I didn't expect that at all. You know, Adam's the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody expects him to sing that way either, and he's a short little ugly guy too, so.
I have to ask too, man. I've watched some videos of you acoustically, and you are just insanely good acoustic. You guys ever think of doing, like, you know, an acoustic album after this? I know this is your, you know, your debut, and you're gonna push this for a while. But I mean, you ever think of doing any, like, acoustic only work?
Absolutely. It's funny that you say that. But acoustic album is definitely in the works for us. Adam and I have talked heavily about. You know, once we get to the point where we can tour, you know, and consistently bring in good crowds, people know our name, we'd love to do, you know, kind of the Zach Myers thing and go out and just tour acoustically. And then we actually, Adam and I met, I don't know if I'm like, I'm telling the story like him and I are lovers or something. But, it was a cold day when I met Adam. We want to go and do like an open mic U.S. tour. I think would be cool. But yeah, acoustic is how every song is wrote or written. I don't care what the proper term is there. That's how every song is written acoustically. You know, and then I would go try them out at open mics, and then I bring them back to the guys and we go from there. But definitely, acoustic albums in the works. I love doing acoustic stuff. Acoustic is how I got, you know, my start in doing this, and I'll stay true to that. Like I said, I love country music. Rumor has it that Adam and I have a country band on the side. Nobody really knows about. I love doing acoustic stuff. You can't hide behind an acoustic. It's raw. It's real.
Absolutely.
There's no faking it there.
How do you think you'd sell this album to somebody that's never listened to you guys before? What do you think you'd tell them to get them to, you know, to click?
My sales pitch every night, I've actually got it down to a science. I'm totally kidding. If people are walking by and they didn't hear it play, or they just stopped to talk to us, I ask them, I'm like, man, have you ever been passionate about something? They're like, yeah, man, I'm passionate about taking out my trash. I'm like, no, have you ever been passionate about something? And like, yeah, when you were passionate about something, you wanted to share that with everybody, right? I'm like, yeah, well, this is my life right here. This is what I'm passionate about. If you have ever wanted to believe in hope, or you ever wanted to believe in good things, man, this is, I'm not going to say my real age right now, although if you figure out the, I'm kidding. you know, it's just, I tell people, man, this is this is about hope. This is about passion. I don't care about the money. I don't care about the fame, because there's no money and there's no fame. I want people to hear this album and realize that there's hope there. And this is, you know, there are people who still believe in their craft and want to share that with the world. And that's what I tell people. Usually they tell me I'm an idiot and buy the album and then call me up the next day. I'm like, wow, you're not kidding. No, I'm not.
Can you take me behind the creative process for Better Days? I mean, it's the first song on the album. It's the first song a lot of people are going to hear. So just how did that all come about?
It almost didn't make the album. It was the last one I had. It was one of the 15 we pre-trod. And we kept hacking it out. We were kind of on the fence about it. And, we got back into listening to the reproduction. We heard a lot of things that really stood out for it. But Better Days was, I wrote the song a couple years ago. It was probably about 3 years ago. I wanted to say, hey man, I think everything's going to get better. It doesn't matter, you know, what this life has or anything like that. My mom was really sick at the time, and I wanted to believe that there was some good out there and that things would change.
When you're producing an album, at certain times you're, you know, this is going to be the best album in the world, it's going to be the new White album, blah, 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 and then some other times, you know, it's the complete opposite, like, oh, what are we doing, where are we, you know, where do you think you're at now as far as this album? Like, how do you feel now that there's been some time to, you know, have it settle in?
While we were in the studio, I mean, every night we were amped to listen to it, and then once we finally finished recording and the last piece was done, we had a in studio listening party just for us, you know, our engineering team and for us. And, you know, we listened to it, and I remember looking at Adam at one point, and I said to him, so then I watch VH1, all this behind the music crap, and you listen to these stories, and they're like, there's no way this is real. But I remember sitting in the control booth, and we were listening to a song, and everybody's off doing their thing. Those kind of stories, that stuff isn't real. Until I sat in that control booth one night at 2 o'clock in the morning with Adam, we were listening to this album, and we were like, good God, we're on to something here. Justin was part of the Three Doors Down, Better Life engineering team. And he looked at me one night and he said, and then I remember sitting there with the other engineer on the Better Life album. They were listening to, it wasn't Kryptonite, it was a Duck and Run, I think they were listening to. And he said, he remember looking at the engineer saying, this album's going to be huge. And, I mean, we all know where Three Doors Down is now.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he had never had that feeling again in the studio until he sat down and started working on our album. And that was just, it was really unreal to hear that from somebody who was a part of an album that was that big. And, you know, this guy's now working on our album. You know, he's more of a friend than he is a producer. I mean, he knows when to cut that off to get business done, but I don't know, man. Recording that album, I became a fan of it again. Like, I haven't listened to it in a while just because we haven't had so much time. And when we got the press copies back, I sat down and I listened to the album. And honestly, if my worst enemy would have convinced me somehow to listen to this album, I would have called the guy up and said, Jesus Christ, man, you've got a monster on your hands.
You know? Absolutely. Is there anything else that you want to say to your fans or to people that haven't listened to you yet on what to expect from you guys in the future?
If people haven't checked us out, you know, please feel free to check us out. If you like music in general, I mean, it doesn't have to be anything. We've got the storytelling in the country. We've got some of the hardness of all the hard rock out there, and then we've got something for your easy listening pleasures. You know, and if you don't like it, don't like it. If you know a friend that'll like it, turn them on to it. And if you if they are familiar with us, thank you for sticking with us. You know, this album's good, and I can't wait to see what it does, but wait to see what we do next. It's going to be huge.